You're listening to Extra Time, driven by Continental.
TMZ, oh my goodness.
I'll let Bobby Warsaw tell me how I did it.
I think he's the philosopher of football.
I'd like to have some more derbies.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here!
From New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time, driven by Continental from the AT&T MLS Studios in Midtown Manhattan. I am Andrew Wiebe with my partners in soccer, Matt Doyle, Susanna Collins, Bobby Warshaw. Merry early Christmas!
Heck yes.
Let's go. Mm. It is a good day. The sun is shining.
Say it all in French, Wiebe.
I can't.
Okay.
I'm going to go to Spanish
now. There.
Aujourd'hui, c'est incroyable. 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 C'est incroyable.
It is freezing here in New York City, and yet the warmth is just coming through me. We may have lost Zlatan. He may be out of Major League Soccer. But we have Thierry Henry on the sideline, and his first games are going to be in the CONCACAF Champions League. It's everything I could have ever wanted. It is... I don't even need anything for Christmas.
There are a few things...
I feel warm. I feel fuzzy.
At this point in my life that make me feel actual happiness.
I believe you too,
yeah.
Doyle.
Yeah. The world is pretty bleak.
What's the list? Seriously, what? Give me one thing that is on that list.
Brown liquor.
Yes. I was going to say, three fingers
but
in
only,
his cup.
Only above... $100.
Yes.
Yeah.
It can't
no,
be cheap.
No.
Cash is king.
Honestly, not going to name it, but my wife found a very affordable Isla Scotch the
swill.
Other day.
Boom.
Just swill.
Yeah. It was a good weekend.
Okay, back to Thierry Henry. Because, oh my God, Thierry Henry and Joey Saputo and the CONCACAF Champions League and Bojan and maybe Piatti and... Red Bulls fans, jaws just gaping. The rest
I noticed you stopped naming players real quick, though.
Well, we don't know.
We don't know.
Yeah,
do
we're
we?
Not sure.
Yeah, it's team chaos. Like this is a great first step as far as I'm concerned. We don't know whether or not Thierry Henry is going to be a good manager, but I suspect he will figure it out. But throw it all together. We're excited for Montreal, guys. We are absolutely excited for Montreal. I can't wait to, like, I needed this.
This after we said Impact fans were especially good trolls. Well, troll no more, because we will be talking about this team 24/7. It's a 2-year deal, Bobby, with an option for another one in 2022. Montreal Impact president Kevin Gilmore on TSN Radio today said that Henry reached out to Montreal about the coaching job and that he was the only coach they interviewed. You wrote the column. What did the column say? I haven't read it yet.
What was that phone call like?
Right.
If you're Montreal and you're like, who is this?
Hey, Kevin, we have Thierry Henry in line
too. You start sobbing for joy.
Should I patch him through? Yes, patch him through. Hi, Kevin, this is Thierry. Yes.
He probably thought he was getting
cool.
Punked.
No, Andrew, you play it cool. You're like, oh, Thierry, you know, you've done some good things. We'll think about it. We'll get back to you.
And then obviously freaks out.
And then obviously you wait at least.
Can I put you on hold? Yeah.
And then you wait 3 days because you obviously can't call back.
The three-day rule. It applies.
There's rules here, guys.
Oh, my God.
Andrew, I thought about this in terms of who would I really want my team, maybe not my team, but a neutral team that I follow as a general fan. And I think that Thierry is somewhere inside that top five and probably number five on coaches who I would just say, hell yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that guy's here. Who else? Who would you guys have in that top five?
Mourinho.
Mourinho.
Oh, yeah.
Mourinho.
Sure, yeah.
Pep.
Klopp.
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 I mean, but those are also like these are massive names.
I think if you leave it to managers who are currently out of work, it's Mourinho, Wenger.
No, not Wenger. Wenger's farther down this list than Thierry Henry.
What?
Wenger would be cool, but Thierry Henry is way more exciting. Mm. He is way more...
Is he exciting because he's just Thierry Henry?
Yes.
Or is he exciting in part because you wonder if he could do for Montreal what Patrick Vieira did for
just
NYCFC?
Because he's
that's
Thierry
what
Henry.
I'm here
no,
for.
No, no, yeah. no, no. That's
no,
secondary. Actually,
the on-field
coaching,
stuff.
Tactics, winning, all secondary.
All right. So, but let's not, like, this isn't a stunt, right? Thierry Henry was the assistant manager for Belgium when they finished third place in this past World Cup. He was there for 18 months, I want to say. So he has experience doing that. He got 20 games at Monaco. It did not go well, either on the field or off the field. But Monaco, understand, they were a disaster before he got there. They had sold something like $500 million worth of players in the preceding 4 or 5 years. They were kind of barren. So he got a bad hand. He did not play it well.
He basically spiked the hand and
he did.
Don't you want to see a Thierry Henry managing a team with a little chip on his shoulder? Because
yes.
I do.
Oh God, yes.
Like that's all. Like yes, just inject it into my veins.
Okay,
please.
So do a little imagination exercise for us, Susanna. it's July. What are we talking about? How's Thierry done? What are the things that just have grabbed our attention? Is Montreal in the championship? Look, they've been CCL fever all in before.
Mm-hmm.
Joey's flying this team to Mexico, baby. Preseason in Mexico. Just like, what do you hope it is? What do you hope it becomes? What are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to talking about Montreal again and having them be relevant, honestly. Number one, I said this earlier, it's probably my favorite MLS city. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. Like, heck yes. Like, let's all go to Montreal.
Between the months of May and...
Yeah. April
October.
In Montreal.
It's beautiful in the winter too.
Okay.
It's like a fairy tale.
You got that thick Chicago blood.
No, it's something else. I love this for so many reasons. And the thing is, every single player that I've ever talked to that has played alongside Thierry Henry, all they say is that he just made everybody better. And
because they were terrified of him.
Exactly. But this is what I'm here for. I want to see him in MLS as a coach scaring the crap out of these players. And they're going to be terrified to fail because you don't want to piss off Thierry Henry.
I mean,
we should acknowledge, Andrew, I've seen a general sentiment on Twitter that it will be a train wreck or it was a celebrity hire. There is, Matt nailed it. We need to put that to bed. Maybe it doesn't work out, but you have almost no evidence at this point that he is not up for the job. I mean, that Monaco thing was a total mess. If you were to put together your checklist of what you would want from a manager, he hits every single part of it, right? He obviously knows the game. He has a playing experience. He's charismatic as hell. He's got the resume that's going to make players listen to him. You could not think of if you were to build a video game, right? You can make players, you can't make managers. If you could make a manager, it would be Thierry Henry. I mean,
think about Marsh's credentials before he got the Red Bulls job. He was an assistant for the U.S. national team, and then he had 1 year as manager for the Impact,
which was actually pretty good. Their expansion year was
better than Henry with Monaco.
We talk about the different spectrums.
Yeah.
They were actually one of those teams that was in the middle of the spectrum.
But the point being, if you took Henry's name out of this and you just had a guy with these credentials, we would look at this hire and be like, okay, that's some interesting background. Didn't work out but you add Henri's name, and of course you're going to get people, especially on Twitter, saying this is just, this is for the glamour, for the celebrity aspect.
I feel like this is Atlanta United signing Ezequiel Barco, right? Maybe he turns out, you can't say for sure that it's going to be a home run, but you could not...
You can't deny the potential, right?
Yeah. Maybe
upside,
it doesn't work.
There is significant upside, but with upside usually comes downside. And the good news in comparison to Monaco is that the Impact are completely settled as a club and as a roster.
Yeah. Now find some freaking defenders.
Wait, I thought that was a joke.
Yeah. Didn't land.
No. My bad. Okay, well, Thierry Henry, I'm ecstatic. I'm absolutely ecstatic, and there are open coaching spots remaining as well. So we'll have more of these conversations. There's now one in Chicago. Veljko Paunovic is out. We will talk about that. We will also talk to Sam Skaczko about the news of the day. There's so much going on. The trade window was open, then it was shut. There were some moves, maybe not enough moves that you would like. There was a 16-year-old sold for $2 million in Major League Soccer. We're also going to talk to Dax McCarty because he is a member of Nashville SC. But before we get to Sam, to Dax, to the U.S. national team, we have a huge must-win game against Canada on Friday. We have to talk Zlatan. We have to put a bow on the man's MLS career. I don't think I need to go through everything he did, 50-plus goals, all the moments, whether it be on the field or in the media or in between. He was a powerhouse. He was a one-man headline. He was a scorer of goals that I don't think this league will ever see ever again. Some of just the absurdity of the skill.
The most creative finisher I've ever seen in my entire life.
The one in Toronto is the one that still baffles me on how a person, one, could think that they could do something like that, and two, could actually do it and do it for their 500th career goal, no less. I mean, you know how I feel about this guy. but it was probably time for both he and the Galaxy to part ways, and that's what they've done. It kind of seems like this could be it. Then again, maybe not. I don't think he'll be back in MLS, but keep an eye on him. He did, of course, in typical Zlatan fashion, tweet his way out of the league.
That is so good.
With a Photoshop of him standing over Bank of California Stadium. As you pointed out on Twitter, Matt, the photo that he pulled is like he went on Google Images and he's like, everything below 400 pixels. something that you can't actually see what's going on in this photo. I need that. Here is the caption in case you missed it. Quote, I came, I saw, I conquered. Thank you, Galaxy, for making me feel alive again. To the Galaxy fans, you wanted Zlatan. I gave you Zlatan. You are welcome. The story continues. Now go back to watch baseball, which is over.
Are you not entertained? Yeah, have you not been entertained for two seasons with this guy? It was incredible. I'm so grateful that I had a chance to watch what he did.
Well, let's say this. Who was it not incredible for, guys? Let's just get this out of the way.
It's not incredible for us because
Who was his 2 years not incredible for?
Well, the Galaxy, but the 2 years before that were also not incredible.
So
you spend $7 million. You could spend $7 million almost anybody else with that team. I'm just saying. I thank you, LA Galaxy. You guys took one for the team. We appreciate it. The Galaxy organization, the rest of MLS says thank you for taking one for everyone else.
So I get your take on Zlatan, that there's a ceiling on how well you're going to be able to play when you have a player like him, specifically him. Because he doesn't move off the ball anymore.
You mean the body of evidence with every single team he had ever played for coming into the LA Galaxy?
He's got a lot of trophies.
This wasn't just a Gallup, but continue. Continue with your...
The point is the Galaxy were... Like, nobody has... relative to expectation, relative to resources, nobody has actually handled the TAM era worse than the LA Galaxy. They have just went... They went straight into the toilet after that 2014 season, just dropping down to around 50 points, actually getting the wooden spoon in 2017, I think it was. And they were like, it's a really poorly constructed roster, and they needed a crutch to get back on their feet. And I think Zlatan was that crutch. He allowed them, he was such an efficient scorer of goals that allowed them to sort of fight through their terrible defensive shape, ability.
How much?
Look, here it is.
How much? Andrew, we got to find out.
He got them to respectability, right?
How much?
I don't.
How much is he paying you right now?
The point is, I don't think that they could have gotten better with Zlatan. He's just, like, there is a limit. Like, to go from mediocrity to outstanding, you need more than what he can give you. But for a completely damaged, mismanaged roster to have that crutch to stand on, he gave them that for 2 years. They got back into the playoffs.
This is Major League
they
Soccer. You could go from being one of the worst teams in league history to being second for most of the year. You don't need a crutch when you're the LA Galaxy. They spent 1.5. They spent 7 points. You do not need a crutch in this league. You need one decent offseason of signing half-average players.
The crutch was for this, Bobby. It was a matter of alternatives. What's the alternative? With LAFC coming into the league, with the momentum they had, with the signings they made, with Bob Bradley, with the fact that you knew they were going to be well-constructed and that they were going to be a successful team. And they were going to. We didn't know they were going to be the team that you've praised this year, and we all have. But we knew they were going to be at the very, very top. The Galaxy we're looking at, we might be just bad, just period, for 2 years. In the moment where we need to be at least competitive, where we have to have at least some sort of differentiator. And I get that the differentiator on your part, you don't think was worth it. And on the field, you might...
The winning.
Might,
the winning.
Yes.
The differentiator
but they did some winning. They did some winning.
They missed the playoffs.
A lot of their winning was against their in-city rival, which is going to matter in the future, and it matters to them now. So, look, I mean... Was it always the best move from a cohesive, collective, we're going to the playoffs, we're going to win championships perspective? No, but nobody has more championships in MLS than the Galaxy do anyway. They already have that angle. They have the star power angle. Now they've had Zlatan and millions upon millions of eyeballs looking at them, validating them, saying, oh, the Galaxy, this ought to bode well for us
in the
future.
If their defense is still broken next year, let's say they go spend $10 million on whatever.
What was the Philadelphia Union's defense this year? Jack Elliott, Austin Trusty, ready. Sure. Like, what are we talking about here?
You have to have the ability to coach players up, to put something functional out there. If their defense is still broken next year, is that going to be whatever? Is it going to be Edinson Cavani's fault or Luis Suarez or whoever?
It's not just about the defense.
There
were so many parts. Listen, I love Zlatan. I feel like whenever I do this, but we just go over, it's like, it was an incredible show. But from a footballing perspective, let's just call it what it was, and it was a disappointment for the LA Galaxy.
No. The results were a disappointment for the LA Galaxy. Zlatan himself was absolutely not a disappointment for the LA Galaxy.
The narrative guy over here.
I am the narrative guy. That is the narrative. He wasn't a disappointment. He was relevance distilled into a human being, man. Like, you couldn't tear your eyes away from him. Any video that
from the second
any video
he entered
we do,
the league.
I don't even put the freaking thumbnail on the thing. I see it online, and it's got Zlatan's face on it, even if we talked about him for 3 seconds, because people just cared.
Even the way he said farewell with this ridiculous tweet. I mean, but you think about, remember his entrance video with the real-life lion that they did? I mean, like, from the minute he joined the league to the minute he left, it has been pure and utter entertainment. People have cared. People have watched because they want more Zlatan. That's a win.
If you're LA Galaxy front office, do you go out this offseason and try to replace him with another big, near the end of his career, European striker?
Just say it. Joe Prince Wright is reporting from NBC that they are going to fly to Paris and talk to Edinson Cavani.
Or do you...
Or other.
Finish your question.
Or do you go, they got Christian Pavone. He's coming back. Mm-hmm. Do you go and get another young, up-and-coming South American player like that?
So the way I would do it if I were them is, assuming Roman Alessandrini comes back.
I don't think that.
I love him as a player. Yeah. Okay, so we'll put him in the team. If he comes back, I would not add, obviously you can add a DP, but I would not add another high-priced attacker, right? You've got two incredible wingers. You've got a decent engine room. Put a functional player up there who can finish your chances. If Alessandrini does not come back, I would be okay with a player like Cavani, because I think one thing we've learned in Major League Soccer through Zlatan, through Nemanja Nikolic, is that you need someone you can rely on to do more than score goals. You need someone to, quote-unquote, lead the line, set the intensity, get pressure on the ball, play vertically, because that's what you need now, is someone who can just do a little bit more than just finish the ball.
Okay. That's our take on Zlatan. We'll see what happens there. Maybe it's Cavani. Maybe it's somebody else. Ola Kamara kind of seems like that functional goal-scoring player of a lesser profile.
Would have been perfect.
Not there anymore.
You know who they need? Eric Hurtado.
Oh, Hurtado Island, baby. Let's do it. That's it for Zlatan. Let us know what you think. Put a bow on that one. 401-206-0MLS. Extra time at MLSsoccer.com. Trade window was open. It was shut. Darwin Quintero is headed from Minnesota to Houston in exchange for Marlon Harrison and $600K in allocation money, $300K between 2020 and 2021. Darlington Nagbe to Columbus, $1.5 million in allocation. That's the total package. It is the same amount as Portland got from Atlanta 2 years ago. Dax McCarty, Dave Romney to Nashville for varying prices there. Romney actually the more expensive player in that one. Miami got Victor Ulloa, Jay Chapman, Grant Lillard, Drake Callender, who's a homegrown player from the Earthquakes, a U23 goalkeeper for the U.S. Highlights? Any highlights there? What's the one that you're into before we get to Sam Stashkel?
I think you made that last name up. No, I'm serious.
Of course you're going to try to dunk on the football legend.
Football manager generation.
I think the big game is tonight. Cal versus Stanford.
Hold on, I'm fact-checking Weeby here.
Okay. Susanna, which one caught your attention the most?
I think Darlington Nagbe, just because he had a really good season with Atlanta. We've talked about him a lot on this show and what he contributes and how good he is. And I think that that's a really smart move for Columbus, who are in desperate need of something to
guys
kind
that
of energy
Caleb Porter's
exactly
ideas.
And they, you know, he's his former coach, he's from Ohio, he wants to be there. I think it's a really, really great sign for
we did
Columbus.
Get multiple emails, multiple texts from people in Columbus both before this move happened and after it happened, of just saying, we're jacked, we're really excited that Darlington Nagbe is coming home and is going to be a part of this crew team and reunite with Caleb Porter. Before we get to Sam, Darwin Quintero to Houston, you like it?
I'm a little confused by it because I don't think he can play on the wing anymore. And if you're going to play a 4-3-3, which I think is what Tab Ramos wants to do, it's tough to slot him into the midfield. So this might be, okay, we're going to go with a 4-2-3-1 and have him play kind of a free role in the middle of that three. So it'll maybe at times look a little bit more like a 4-4-2 rather than anything else. I don't know if you can press. I don't know if you could play a high line if Darwin Quintero is is out there. I don't know what Bobby's doing.
Bobby is frustrated.
Doesn't exist.
Bobby can't fact check me. He has no idea.
Drake Callender.
I'm telling you, he's not anywhere. I know that they put him on their website as trading him, but he does not exist on their books.
It's the homegrown rights to him. It's not his actual. He's not a signed MLS player.
Oh my god!
Yeah, all of that effort.
Yeah,
for naught.
Jeez, do your research, Bobby.
Man, okay, we cool.
He's a good, like, big, super athletic keeper. I haven't seen him play in a couple of years. I used to watch him all the time when
he was with the
Berkeley.
USU-23s. He just got called
like,
up that game.
He has a ton of upside. Needs to work on his ball skills.
So. Paul McDonough is basically stocking up his supplemental roster right now with some homegrown, some MLS veterans. We'll have him on the show on Monday.
Georgie Acosta is an interesting one, too.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's get to Sam Stachel. He is the bird dog, and we're so happy to have him back. This is basically just going to be an infomercial. For The Athletic, Sam, what's up? Welcome back.
Always love a good infomercial. I just wanted to say, I heard it was pretty cold in New York today, but I wanted to let you know I'm sitting by a pool, Florida.
Cool. I'm wearing a beanie indoors.
And a sweatshirt.
So, yeah, I feel great about that. But you're in Orlando with the U.S. national team, so it can't all be that great. Let's talk about the... Wow. Yeah, I know.
Good,
I'm sorry.
That's actually pretty good. All right.
Let's talk about the trade window. You have reported a lot of what we've seen come down, Sam, and I want to start you with the Houston Dynamo and Minnesota United. Darwin Quintero, the writing was on the wall. It was seemingly Orlando or Houston. Why did it end up being Houston? Why did they want Darwin Quintero so much?
There was a third option in there, too, and that was Mexico. Oh, that process would have been a little bit more fraught, but that was something that everyone was dealing with a little bit before this deal got completed. In terms of why it ended up being Houston, I mean, I think it was just kind of the best offer on the table. Orlando and Minnesota had talked about a trade involving Dom Dwyer and Darwin for kind of a straight swap, from what I was told. But Dom Dwyer has a no-trade clause. Whether or not that came into play, I don't know. Something to think about, certainly. But I think at the end of the day, it was probably just the best offer came from Houston, and that's what Minnesota decided to go with.
That contract that he has reportedly signed, according to some guy, let's see, named Sam Stachel, is pretty cap-friendly. Am I wrong in saying that? Is that the wrong analysis there?
Well, I guess it depends on how he performs, right? But he doesn't have to be a DP. So that's positive from Houston's perspective. It gives him a little bit more flexibility. He's going to come in at a salary under that $1.5 million threshold. Of course, will that threshold exist next year with the CBA and everything? Who knows? He won't have to be a designated player, so maximum flexibility from the Dynamo's perspective. So that's a solid thing for Houston, certainly.
Why did they believe that they will get 2018 Darwin Quintero?
Oh, man. You would have to ask Tab Ramos that question. But he's clearly a talented player. You know what I mean? He fell a little bit into the doghouse with Adrian Heath. That doesn't mean he can't still go out there and ball. They have some interesting pieces around him, of course, with Elise Manotas, Tomas Martinez, Memo Rodriguez, to name but a few. They should be able to have a solid attack around him. Will they keep all of those guys this winter? I'd be a little surprised if both Manotas and Elise were back. I would expect at least one of them to be sold. So we'll see. But he's a guy that, he's a talented player, and that skill isn't going away. Is he as fast as he once was? No. But he's a guy that can still make things happen in MLS.
Sam, I want to move on to the next big trade, although really probably the first big trade, and that's Darlington Nagbe going from Atlanta to Columbus. And my big question about this one was, who initiated this trade? Did it come from Nagbe? Did it come from Columbus or from Atlanta?
I don't think it was Atlanta. Obviously there was the kind of drama around Darlington and Atlanta around this time last year, ahead of the opening of camp, where he was missing a day, and then he got sent home early from L.A., and a lot of that was due to contract stuff. And so I'm guessing at that point, Darlington probably made it known that, like, hey, if you're not – this might not be a situation that I want to continue on in much longer. We'll play out this year and then see what happens. And obviously Columbus, he's got a lot of ties, right? Even putting Caleb Porter, who was his coach in college and at Portland, aside, he's from Ohio. And, he's made no secret over the years that he enjoys being in Ohio. I believe his wife is from Ohio as well. In terms of preferred destinations, I'm sure Columbus was at the top of the list for Darlington. And I'm sure that's something that he probably made Atlanta understand.
You reported in The Athletic that Will Trapp was being shopped a little bit, maybe even overseas. Then we've been talking about Atlanta for the better part of 2 weeks now after they've been eliminated from the playoffs and saying, oh boy, is this team going to be remade, sort of in the image of Frank DeBoer. Where is more change coming from, Columbus or from Atlanta, as we enter the rest of this offseason?
That's a good question. You know, I don't know for sure. I think Atlanta's going to have some serious rebuilding. Julian Gressel is a huge one that's out there for them. You know, he wants a new contract. Those talks have not gone well, according to Gressel, who kind of publicly said that after the season ended. So what happens there? He's going into the final year of his deal. Do they risk letting him go for free after this season? He wants a new contract now. So that could be a pretty potential major shakeup. You know, Tito Villalba, I could see leaving. That's another one. I believe Leandro Gonzalez-Pires is heading into the last year of his deal as well. So what are they going to do there? There could be a lot of changes in Atlanta. But Columbus, I get the sense that Nagy is the first big move for them and not the only one. You know, obviously they have the new ownership group, the Haslams in there. Tim Bezbachenko and Caleb Porter, they didn't really have much time last offseason with the crew. So they kind of held tight and sort of maximized space in a lot of different ways for this window and probably this next summer. And every indication I've gotten is that they're going to go out and spend. So will that happen this window? Will that happen in the summer? I'm not entirely sure. But I think the crew are going to be making some pretty big moves here over the next 6 months, certainly.
Sam, I want to ask you about the Chicago Fire. Pano out. Dax out. Schweinsteiger retires.
Just keep going.
I know,
keep
right? Going. Like, what does this rebuild look like for Chicago? Where are they at with it?
Yeah, I mean, I think the next step for them is going to be hiring that sporting director, technical director, whatever you want to call it, in between Nelson Rodriguez and whoever the next head coach is going to be. So how far along are they in that process? I don't know. But they need to get someone in there quick because they need to hire a head coach. And they have a lot of roster building left to do. And I think there are some real questions about how involved Nelson Rodriguez is going to be on the soccer side moving forward. You know, he came out publicly at his media roundtable about a month ago and said that Paunovic was going to be the coach in 2020. And now he's not. So you get the sense that unless something crazy happened behind the scenes, which I haven't heard if it has, that wasn't entirely Rodriguez's decision. And so if the new owner, Joe Mansueto, went over his head there, you know, is he going to involve Nelson in the new coaching search? How involved will he be? There are a lot of questions there that need to be answered, but I expect the first step for them to be to get in this technical director, sporting director, you know, and go from there.
Sam, over the last couple of years, the Fire have actually had one of the largest roster spends in the entire league, just in terms of first team. Obviously, they do need to build out their infrastructure down to the academy and USL, but it is about this first team for 2020. And the sense when you talk to folks around the league is that the checkbook's about to open up in a big way for the Chicago Fire. Is that your sense as well?
I mean, initially, yes. But I don't know how these changes kind of affect that. You know what I mean? I just mentioned it with the crew and kind of the late start that they got. But depending on how long it takes to hire a technical director and then how long it takes to hire a head coach, they might wait to spend. You know, because if you're getting in there in mid-December, you don't have a ton of time to go out and make these targeted signings, right? So I don't know if they're going to spend this winter or if they're going to wait until the summer or maybe even until next winter, but they're behind the eight ball in terms of timing. And these moves don't come together quickly for the most part, the big ones. You know, it's a several-month, sometimes several-year thing. So I'm not sure if it's going to be this winter. I will say I'm confident that eventually they will spend. I just don't know if it's going to be immediate.
I want to talk to you about a guy who was a big spin in the past. Thierry Henry, he's MLS bound, Sam. He's a head coach in this league. He's in Montreal with Joey Saputo. We deserve this. You and I, this is what we deserve. We deserve Thierry Henry in CCL Fever. I'm giddy. How do you feel? Can you feel? Is it just everything bubbling up inside of you?
The impact never stopped going in. And they went in on this one. And I think the only thing that they could do to top this is if they trade for Nuhu and let him play for Thierry Henry, because that would be all fantastic. But, I think it's a really exciting, interesting move that, at least on the surface, doesn't seem destined to kind of blow up in spectacular fashion, right, if we're being honest. You know, Montreal has been a volatile club in the past. Henry certainly had a volatile run in Monaco. Maybe he's learned from that. But he's a fiery guy. You know, I was talking to Tim Ream down here in Orlando today. He played with Henri in New York, and I was like, what do you think of this hire? You know, what are some of the good Henri stories you have from the Red Bulls? And he mentioned one time when Austin Deleuze, who was a rookie at the same year that Ream was, he megged a guy in training. And Henri didn't like that. And the very next time Austin Deleuze got the ball, Austin Deleuze got two-footed from
Well, the guy, you said megged a guy. The guy was Henri.
I don't know who it was. I don't think it was Henri. Ream mentioned it. I can't remember it. But it was he did not mention Henri being megged. And he just didn't like a rookie embarrassing a more veteran player. So I don't know, Bobby. Maybe you know the story too.
I heard it was a Amando Moreno. I heard it was the homegrown kid, Amando Moreno, when he was like 16 or 17.
I think this happened a few times. I believe it happened to Juan Agudelo too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so he's a feisty, no nonsense guy. He certainly was that at Monaco, and so there should be, if nothing else, we should be guaranteed some fireworks. And I'm really excited to see how it plays out. It's going to be a boost in that market for Montreal in terms of publicity and excitement. And one way or another, it's going to be fun. Is it going to be success? I don't know.
Sam, is there any clarity on the status of Lassie Lapalainen and Orgio Quanquo, the two Bologna guys, young Bologna wingers who came in on loan to Montreal this year? And Quanquo was kind of open about maybe not loving the MLS lifestyle, but Lapalainen in particular seemed to fit very well. Are those guys going to be staying, or are they both gone?
I'm not sure. I would imagine Henri might have some say in that, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't love the MLS lifestyle, but Thierry Henri becomes your head coach, maybe that changes your thinking. I'm entirely sure about that. So we'll see. I mean, I think Lapalainen in particular would be a pretty good piece to have. Young player, talented. He did pretty well. I'm actually really curious to see what Bojan does for them next year.
Yeah.
I think he's obviously got all the skills to kind of put up huge numbers in MLS if you stay healthy.
Nashville or Miami, compare and contrast roster builds so far. How are these expansion teams going about it? Who do you think's got the better of it so far?
I think Miami. I don't think that's saying anything too controversial or bold or anything. They've spent a lot less of their allocation money, certainly. They're kind of saving it in reserve, which is something that Atlanta did in their buildup and allowed them to add pieces throughout the season. And even after their first season, Darlington 90 being one of those. And so Paul McDonough, who had that background with Atlanta, it shouldn't be a huge surprise, right? Nashville went out and spent a good chunk of change on Annie Bolgadoy, on Dave Romney, on David Accom, on Zach McCarty. And so a lot of that allocation money is gone, and probably some of it spent, I think it's probably fair to say, on guys that wouldn't have even been protected in the expansion draft. So Miami are waiting until, I think, after the expansion draft, maybe even after the reentry draft, to really go out and spend that money, at least it appears. And I think that's probably a pretty good strategy. So we'll see how it shakes out. Obviously, they still need to bring in a named VP. I'm sure that will happen. They also need to have the small matter of hiring a coach figured out. They're kind of running out of time there.
You've been watching the Copa we'll Libertadores? See.
Yeah, I think it would be smart to watch the Copa Libertadores final here in, what, 10 days. So, we'll see. We'll see about that one. But, they do need to get a body in there just to help run the team and pick players.
By the way, Paul McDonough will be on this show on Monday ahead of the expansion
you
draft.
You think he's watching the Copa Libertadores?
He might be. Maybe. TBD. Maybe WhatsApp blowing up a little bit? Maybe we'll ask him about that. Last one before we get you out of here. You're in Orlando for U.S.-Canada. We will talk about that in just a little bit. We'll also chat with Dax McCarty. Sam, what are you hearing from folks? You got the vote of confidence. You've got Weston McKennie coming out and saying that we got to be the Giants of CONCACAF. Alfredo Morales is saying we got to kill him. Somebody said revenge. I mean, there's a lot of things being said, but what will happen and what's the vibe in camp?
I mean, it's definitely more intense, I think, than it was last time around, which is good because there was a big intensity gap last time around against Canada. Everyone's been open about that. You know, again, Tim Ream today kind of telling me a lot more guys are getting stuck in on challenges. The practices have been harder, faster. So that's positive, I think, for U.S. national team fans. One of the big questions for me, and I think, Doyle, you wrote about this, is are the U.S. maybe going to press a little bit higher? And when they get the ball, look to get vertical and go quickly and go to goal and use some of those transitions to get at Canada. And Sebastian Legette mentioned that might be something we see
Do you think they read my columns, Sam? It sounds like the U.S. national team is constructing their tactical approach based upon my writing.
I can confirm that, you know, MLS front offices, business side, sporting side, all they do all day is read MLSsoccer.com. So maybe that transition to the national team. Greg Berhalter used to be an MLS head coach.
Who runs this?
He was a little bit more cagey. He was a little bit more cagey with his response to that question, and pointed out rightfully that, you know, if you press high and get caught out, well, then you got Alphonso Davies and Jonathan David running at you, and that's not a situation you really want to be in. So we'll see. How aggressive are they going to be? I don't know. Personally, I hope to see them be a lot more aggressive and come out really early in the game and be intense and get a little higher and transition to goal quickly when they win the ball back in the midfield.
At Sam Stachel on Twitter, that's where you can follow him, the Bird Dog, breaking a lot of this MLS news. At the U.S.-Canada game, Sam, we will obviously retweet anything that you write with some kind words and just make sure people know that in case they missed it, that you can definitely catch it at the Athletic. I know that's important to you, right?
Thank you, Edie. That is important to me, and your check's in the mail.
Okay, cool. That's all I was hoping for.
Your 40% discount thank for you. A year-long membership is in the mail, Weeby.
The Athletic, in case you missed that,
promo
Sam.
Promo code Andrew Weeby.
Yes, perfect. Thank you, Sam.
All right, thanks, guys.
Gam Tam, thank you, Sam. Haven't thought about that in a while.
Oh, my.
Colin Sam Stachel. Gotta find that clip. I gotta find that clip from somewhere. We talked about the Dax McCarty deal and Dave Romney. Dax for $100K in allocation to Nashville from the Chicago Fire. Basically, the Fire didn't want to eat his contract option and the amount of money it was. They're restarting. They did right by him. They sent him to Nashville, and Dave Romney reportedly, I mean, he just came out and said this. He went to the Galaxy with a spreadsheet of points per game with him on and off the field and said, why aren't you starting me more? Which I respect as a move.
Be your own advocate.
I'm surprised that Bobby's not coming to me and saying, why am I not on every single show? Your rate of return with me, I've crunched the numbers, the advanced analytics, the expected takes are extremely high when I am on the show, but I haven't got that from him. 225 in GAM for Dave Romney felt high. But the flip side is he made just over $100,000 last year. He can play left center back and left back. He's 26. He's less than Hagelin was last year for FC Cincinnati. And right. I think a better player, a more versatile player at the very, very least. Thoughts on these moves? Thoughts on Nashville? Bobby, I'll let you go there because I think we got Doyle's thoughts. No?
So here, I'll start here, right? When it comes to Dax and it comes to Godoy, is that the fastest way to being an above average, I'd hesitate to use the word good, but above average Major League Soccer team is a defensive midfielder, right? You take Minnesota. Yes, Ekpar was amazing. Well, that's the other part of this, right? The other part is getting a good center back. If you can do either one, that gives you a chance in this league. I would argue that Chicago mightily underperformed this year, that they should have been a playoff team. That wasn't about Dax or the quality of that team not making the playoffs. It was this weird construction of events. But the fastest way to being a good MLS team is by having a defensive midfielder. I do think that Dax is in that group of six where if you put him on a team, you automatically have a chance of making the playoffs.
That's a good place to be if you're an expansion team. You've been a person who's visited Nashville a mm-hmm. couple times, enjoyed your time there. Susanna, before we get to Dax, your thoughts on where they're at, what they will be, and what Dax might represent to an expansion team?
I'm very excited. Well, I'm excited for Dax because I know that was a destination that he wanted. Also kind of sad because, obviously, farewell, Chicago. Also, he like...
Oh, but you got your...
He bought the... I know. Your, I, exactly. I need a new...
bobblehead. I need a new... Dax McCarty.
Do you think that was a lot... Like, this was like a ploy. He must have known. Seriously, the saga continues. I'm going to need...
Is Shimizu Frankowski in trouble? Because we have a bobblehead of him, too.
I need a Dax Nashville bobblehead. No, I love this for Nashville because I think it's really – Dax is a leader. You know, like Dax is a guy that's going to come on that team and automatically be a leader. And for an expansion side, that you can't ask for more. And as Bobby said, like that's such an important position to fill. I like the fact that he's going to be reunited with David Akam as well. You know, there's familiarity there. I'm not like super excited about what Nashville has done yet. We'll see what they do in the expansion draft and other signings that they make, but I like what they've done. I'm happy. I'm content with what they've done.
Okay. Content is good. We chatted with Dax McCarty earlier, so let's take a listen to that interview now. Dax McCarty is a Nashville SC midfielder. Dax, what's up, man?
What's going on, guys?
Not much. We had you in the studio real recently, and your future was a little uncertain, and now it is. Welcome to Nashville. I just want to start with this, man. I am about your age. I have a young child at home. My back hurts regularly. I feel like I'm washed, and then I look at your starts over the last decade, and you have 25 every season. How is that possible? How are you not washed? You're 33, or about to be.
32 going on 25, man. That's what I always like to say, you know? Just a lot of acai bowls, a lot of smoothies, a lot of protein powder, man. That's how I do it. No, but seriously, I feel great. I know that anytime you get that 3 at the beginning of your age, people are always going to start to question you, and that's fine. I love that. That's just add that just to another challenge that I want to take on in my career. And I know our boy Sasha Kleschen says he wants to play until he's 40. Well, I want to be like Tom Brady. I want to play until I'm 45. So I'm going to keep taking good care of myself off the field and hope that on the field I can keep producing.
There you go. Okay, so I do the smoothies, but the acai bowls and the protein powder, those are additions. It's expensive to stay healthy. It's expensive to stay upright, Bobby. Tell me about the logistics of this trade from your side, Dax, because I know you have a house in Chicago, you've got a wife, a kid, you had a life that was sort of settled. Now what?
Sure. That's always the fun part about being in professional sports is that one day you're settled and everything is seemingly on track to stay the same, and the next day things are all up in the air and you're uprooting the whole fam and moving. So that's what we sign up for. We're not naive. I'm not naive. I've been through this process before, and so to be honest, it was something that I welcomed after the season ended. You know, initially I wanted to and assumed I was going to be staying in Chicago, but you know, once things became a little bit more uncertain, you always have to be open to the possibility of leaving. And I've told you guys this before, Nashville was really high on my list, if not at the top of my list of places I wanted to end up. It's in the South, you know, it's closer to home. It's a place that my wife and I really thought we would thrive in and be able to raise our young family in. And then on the soccer side of it, which is probably the most important part, I really like what they're doing down there. I really like Gary Smith. He has MLS experience. He beat me in MLS Cup 2010. I won't forgive him for that, but I'll have to move on eventually. And then you look at Mike Jacobs, the stuff that he's done with Sporting Kansas City and the teams that he's built, and being a part of an expansion team trying to build something from the ground up, it's a challenge that I've never had in my career. Portland doesn't count for all you smart asses out there, but it's something that I really wanted to be a part of.
Have you already started to make your mental checklist? Because you are a leader by nature. You play in the middle of the field. Have you started to think about what parts of your game and your personality will be specifically important to an expansion team?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's something that I think about actually all the time, every day. Even if I was going to still be on the fire, or even if I was going to a very well-established, successful team, the qualities that I try to bring to a team, they never change. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. I'm going to do my best to be a good leader on and off the field. I think establishing a culture of a group of guys in the locker room that actually really enjoy being around each other is extremely important. That sets the base and foundation for everything that you can do and the success you can have on the field. And I just want to be a sounding board for the coaching staff, for the players that we bring in, for the players that come from overseas, and for maybe the guys that are bilingual, maybe they don't speak English. I just want to be that kind of universal guy in the locker room that kind of brings everyone together. Because I think if you can do that and you can establish that culture right away, then you're already setting yourself up for success in a season.
¿Hablas español o no?
Poquito, un poquito.
Just checking. Just had to throw it out there for you. Bobby always says that the teams that stick together tend to have a few drinks together now and then. Nashville, not the worst place, man. Not the worst place to build culture, huh?
I'm going to have to see what the smoothie situation is in Nashville, because I think that's what Bobby's talking about. A lot of Jamba Juices, a lot of acai bowls. You know, if the guys that are over 21 want to grab a beer every now and then, I hear Nashville is the place to be.
Purely organics. Only organics, sticking vegan.
O'Doul's.
Yes.
Dax, I want to hear about your thoughts and your relationship with the other player that Nashville spent allocation money on in the middle of the field, Anibal Godoy.
Anibal Godoy, I think he's a wonderful player. I've played against him not only in MLS, but in international games as well with him with Panama. And he's a guy I've always, to be quite honest with you, I really didn't like playing against him because he always presented different challenges. He's, first of all, he's a big guy. He's an imposing figure. That's the first thing you notice about him. He's left-footed, and he's got a great engine and a great motor. And then technically, he's very sound as well. I spoke with Mike Jacobs about him a little bit, and we both agreed that he's very similar and in a similar mold as Roger Espinoza, a guy who I think can be a real enforcer in the middle of the field. He's left-footed, so that makes him a little bit unique. But he also has a twinge of creativity about him. He can get forward. He can score goals. I've seen him score some bangers. And so I think he's a really complete player. He's a guy that I think in the middle of the field, I think that we can balance each other out really well. Sometimes if I like to get forward, I think he's smart enough to be able to cover me and vice versa. So you never know how it's going to work out until you step on the training field and work on it, but it's an exciting prospect to be a part of with him.
So there's excitement with Expansion Life, but there's also some nervousness that can come with that too. It's kind of run the gamut. Some teams are really good. Some teams are quite bad, as we saw with FC Cincinnati this year. Are you nervous at all about that aspect of it, of the possibility that things will not be smooth in the first year of existence here? And what are reasonable expectations in your mind as we all look at Nashville and wonder what it'll be like?
It's a good question, Weave, and I wouldn't describe it as nervousness. Taking on a new challenge, and especially a challenge of an expansion team, it doesn't make me nervous. It makes me excited because I know right away, right from the get-go, that things aren't going to be perfect. There are going to be challenges that pop up when it comes to being your first year in MLS. What's the training situation going to be like? What's the facility situation going to be like? We're sharing a stadium with an NFL team, right? What's the game day experience going to be like? What type of culture are we going to establish in the locker room? I mean, it's an expansion team. There are going to be questions that have to be answered. But for me, I don't look at that with fear. I don't look at that with nervousness. I look at that with excitement, and I look at that with saying to myself, this is a challenge that you've never had in your career. How far can you push the envelope in terms of how successful can this team be? And you said it yourself. There are very different sides of the spectrum. You have your LAFCs and your Atlanta Uniteds, and you have your Cincinnatis and Minnesotas who struggled mightily, and the other side is wild success, right? And so for me, my expectations are that we want to win. We want to be closer to the Atlantas and LAFCs. How realistic is that? Who knows? But that's what excites me. You know, that the possibility that we can be great right from the beginning is something that's my expectation and that's my mindset. When the challenges come up throughout the season, I want to deal with those head on and I want to be accountable for how our team performs. And so I don't look at it with fear. I look at it with excitement.
We'll see how it happens. Of course, there's a lot of roster building to do for Mike Jacobs in Nashville around you and others, Dax. There are actually, though, three expansion teams in MLS in 2020. You've got Inter Miami, Nashville, and the Chicago Fire, it seems, who are doing the complete rebuild. It seems like the deck is being washed, and I don't want to dwell here, Dax, but you saw it for 3 years. You were there as they made the switch to Soldier Field. What do you think the future of the Fire might look like?
Yeah, that's a funny way to put it, but it definitely looks like that. I think the Fire might have the same amount of guys under contract as Nashville does. So, yeah, it's a shame that during my 3 years there, we couldn't have had more success on the field. That will always be I don't want to say a regret because I don't have any regrets in my career, but that will always be a frustration, was that we were just not consistent enough to consistently challenge for trophies and consistently make the playoffs, because, you know, that's something that I take a lot of pride in. And I think we had plenty of talent. We just weren't able to really put it together. And so I think with the Fire, you have an amazing brand. You have an amazing owner who wants things to be successful, and he wants to bring the Fire back to the glory days of when they won the double and when they were getting 25,000 fans out to Bridgeview. I think the move to Soldier Field is a really positive one for the group. I think that they're going to sign some extremely talented players. I know they have all three DP spots open. And so I think you're right in saying that it is a pretty big rebuild. A whole new coaching staff is going to come in. But, I've had multiple conversations with the owner, Joe Mansueto. He's a really smart, he's a really bright guy. And I think he craves success. He's a Chicago guy through and through, and he craves success. He wants success for his hometown team. And I don't think there's any way that he lets that team fail. And so it might take a little bit of time, but I have no doubts that they'll get back to winning ways soon.
Dax, before we let you go, we have to get your thoughts on the news of the day, and that's Thierry Henry to the Montreal Impact. You played with Henry at the Red Bulls.
Let's go.
What are your thoughts here?
Oh, man. When I saw that, you know, I actually got a text from one of our old Red Bull teammates. Shout out to Johnny Barajo. You know Johnny.
Legend.
He sent me a text with the news, and my jaw about hit the floor. I think it's so exciting for the league, right? I mean, on one hand, you have Ibra leaving, and, you know, you lose a little bit of the personality that he brings. And now you get Thierry coming back as a coach, and it's poetic, man. And the fact that he's going to be in the Eastern Conference, he's going to be in Montreal, you know, where it's obviously a big French culture, which obviously I think it makes a lot of sense. It ticks a lot of boxes. And I think it's going to be amazing because Thierry, you guys know how his mindset and mentality and his personality is. He's a winner at heart, and I think the way things went for him at Monaco, it's only going to drive him to try to be more successful. And so it's going to be really fun to watch and see what happens. I'll shoot him a text here in a little bit and see how he's doing. But I bet you he's excited to get the project going. I think Montreal, there will be a lot more intrigue around that club this year, for sure.
No doubt about it. We are excited to talk about Henry there and Nashville in their first season of Major League Soccer. Dax McCarty, a foundational piece for Nashville SC. Dax, thanks for joining us, man.
It's always a pleasure, guys. You know, you can call me anytime.
All right, big thanks to Dax McCarty for joining us here. That was our AT&T call to the field for today's show. Big thanks to Continental as well for everything they do to make Extra Time happen. Expansion draft details for you Tuesday, 5:30 p.m. Eastern. You can watch Inter Miami and Nashville make 5 choices apiece. Teams can protect 12 players. Used to be 11 players they could protect. It is now 12. 5 choices per team. You can watch it on YouTube, Twitter, MLSsoccer.com, and the MLS app. 5:30 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday. Susanna, you will be in
Nashville.
Jillian will be in Miami. And then Doyle, Kaylin, and I will be here in New York City giving you some analysis and guiding you through that process. There are still some open coaching spots in MLS. We talked quickly there to Dax about Chicago. Pano is out, no longer the head coach. Sam talked about that too. So now Chicago, Miami, New York City FC, Orlando, and RSL, because Freddy Juarez is still interim, all need head coaches.
Give us your dream world, Doyle. Can I ask that question, Andrew?
Yeah.
Matt, give us your
Give
us your pairings. That would be the dream scenario.
For
one by, how about each, this? How about dream scenario for one team of your choice? So you can choose between Chicago, Miami, NYC, Orlando, or RSL, and you get to apply your dream. Maybe it's Piojo to Chicago. Maybe it's
after it's, last month's comments, I don't want Piojo.
Okay. So Piojo's out. Yeah. Maybe it's Tuca Ferretti to Chicago.
Tuca would be
interesting.
Would
huh?
be pretty
not
interesting.
Bad.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Juan Carlos Osorio to I'm just kidding.
Maybe it's Arsene Wenger to NYCFC.
Maybe it is.
I want to see Van Bronckhorst. I liked okay. Van Bronckhorst's Feyenoord teams, and it looks like he's the one who's going to be coming. Obviously, you know, we're referencing Gallardo from River Plate earlier in the show.
A muñeco? Is that the... No, maybe I got that nickname wrong. Yeah, just continue. How would Gallardo be in Miami?
I mean, his River Plate teams have been a lot of fun to watch over the last few years. They play pretty much always a 4-3-3, sometimes a 4-2-3-1. They dominate the ball. That'll be pretty good. I want to see Freddy Juarez continue on with RSL. I like what I saw of that team down the stretch. Who else are we talking about? We're talking about Orlando.
Orlando.
Yeah, Orlando, you could make a choice there. Big Phil is apparently no longer available.
Mm.
That would have been interesting.
What about...
There's a right answer.
Packerman?
No, come on. Ooh. Diego Maradona.
Oh my God. Playing the heel now. Let us know who you would want. What are your dream scenarios for those openings? Some other news to get you here. Joe Scally, who you probably have never seen play unless you're a U.S. youth national team nerd, which there are a number of you who listen to this podcast that apply there, ourselves included. He is off to the Bundesliga, not this year, but after this year, to Borussia Mönchengladbach for $2 million to start, reportedly from Jeff Carlisle at ESPN, or up to $7 million. Love the deal. Claudio Reyna came out and said it. More teams should be doing this to get that sort of return on a player who's never played for your first team. That's good stuff. He plays right back. Anton Tinnerholm plays right back. So this could be maybe a trend. We shall see. But a nice move from NYCFC. Let's just do it. Let's talk national team. Canada, Friday. 7 p.m. Eastern, ESPN2, Unimas, Turiene. We have Club and Country beforehand on MLS channels, so pregame, lineups, what have you, and then postgame we will react. Hopefully that reaction is not what it's been in the past, which is basically us just slamming our head against the table.
Mm-hmm. It was not fun.
Yeah, look, the ticket sales in Orlando are not brisk, let's say. I'm way more interested in, and full disc, as a U.S. national team, I'm way more interested in Canada, in Jonathan David, in Davies, in John Herdman, and the environment he's created, which
Richie
is
Larea.
Come on, not, that's not true.
Yeah,
you're just protecting yourself,
no.
Man. No, you're not more interested. No, you're just hurt. And when you're
Christian
hurt,
you're Pulisic, no Zach Steffen.
You're podcasting scared.
Yeah. Oh. But, you know, sometimes what I've heard from the experts is that when you podcast scared, it actually forces you to prepare for every given scenario. And sometimes you have your best performance in those situations.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, I'm podcasting scared, Bobby. What no, is there more
say,
to say
on.
About this? Because, come on.
I
Alfonso
said hurt.
Davies.
That's okay.
Okay, hurt?
That's okay.
Yeah, I am hurt a little bit. Come on, man. They have more to them that should make you excited, at least in my mind. As if I'm going to go neutral, John Herdman has his team, like, talking about how they want to run through walls for him in press conferences, stopping press conferences, and being like, guys, I just want to say that this man next to me has completely changed Canadian soccer. I mean, it just feels different for them. They feel like the team to be excited about right now.
For sure.
So get me excited about the U.S.
This is not like you're dropping, you know, Kansas because you want to hop on the Kentucky basketball bandwagon.
Never,
this is your country's team, dude. What are you?
Well, I'm still excited about it, but I am hurt and I'm protecting myself because
okay.
It's very real the possibility that we could lose this game. And if we do, I'm going to be super sad.
What happens
for the US.
If we lose?
Nothing.
That's the question.
Yeah. Ernie Stewart came out this week and he said that he's pleased with the progress that he's seen wherever he's seen it. And that there are no changes that are going to happen. It would be unprecedented to fire a U.S. head coach for a loss in a non-World Cup qualifier. This is not, like, this is a game that the U.S. I think needs to win for team and fan base morale, but it's not a World Cup qualifier, so I guess that is part of the rationale as well. As we kind of said, there's not a lot of the guys who we think are the best players at their positions who are, like, if I'm looking at the U.S. pool, the most exciting players to me are Pulisic, Tyler Adams, and Paxton Pomykal. Like, I think those are the three guys.
Come on, Sergiño Dest? He's already out of that group for you?
He's a fullback.
He's shaking
fullbacks
people's
are just
hands.
Inherently less exciting than central.
Hey, whoa.
You know
what would be better, though? I'm not even going to say it.
Oh, yeah, I knew it. Yeah, yeah.
So it's this weird limbo in terms of where we are, where the U.S. are as a group. And it's impossible not to be demoralized after that performance last week. Canada just battered them. They just absolutely – it wasn't just having a better structure in midfield. It was the players caring more and winning more of those 50-50s. And it's up to the team to show that they can do that again.
The only positive from that match was Doyle's post-game rant.
Mm.
That was – I mean, I was here for this. Thank you.
Bobby,
that was it. I feel nothing.
I was about to take
otherwise,
off my
I feel
shoe
nothing.
Like Khrushchev
I know.
Banging the –
Do what you said it was a limbo, or somebody said it was a limbo. Do we get under the bar?
No, I said we were in limbo.
Oh.
So this is Andrew Wiebe off-season vacation mode right here.
Yeah. I was
Dude's
like,
head is in Jamaica.
You guys were talking, and I was imagining Greg Berhalter literally limboing, which I'm not sure he'd be great at. A little too tall, a little
he's
too lanky.
Been under the bar
stiff.
So far.
Yeah. What are you looking for, Bobby? Just give me one or two things from this game, and we'll get out of here.
Just how they tie... How they tie together the different phases of the game. Because the idea about whether the team should press or whether they should pass out of the back, I think each of those individually are red herrings. And it's more about now, if you look at all the best teams, they're not just passing teams, they're not just counterattacking teams, they're teams that know how to counter when it comes to it, know how to pass when they need to slow down. And it's the ability to tie these different phases together, which is hard. It comes back to the club team versus international team. But I'm just keeping an eye on does Berhalter have a little bit more of an idea on how he is tying all of the phases of the game together in relation to the players he has on the field?
Do you think they win this game?
I do, yeah.
You seem pretty confident about that?
Do I seem confident about that?
I don't know. You're really good at faking it, if not.
I do think that they win this game. I do think that the players have the chip on their shoulder and they have a better understanding of how to create the plan to get the most out of the players against this specific opposition. and they do get it done.
Well, if they don't, or if they do, whatever happens, Monday we're going to do a mailbag show, 401-206-0MLS. You can text us there. We got a bunch of texts. I've sort of saved them away in a document for this Monday. Also, email extratime@mlssoccer.com. We will sort of plot out the expansion draft, maybe even do a mock expansion draft. We shall see. The protection lists will be out. That go down on Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll talk to Paul McDonough and comb through your mail. We'll see you then, everybody. Enjoy your weekend. We'll be right back.